When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
I am the ferryman. The human spirit is my business. Their madness, their passion. The wonderful and monstrous ways they burn out their brief candle.
Absolute report. I regret to tell you that very many American lives have been lost.
He's right.
Was heard to shout from the car, "He's dead." Whether he referred to President Kennedy or not is not yet known.
In 3 or 4 hours, people must get up and
visual identification.
Just as all they had a full night's rest.
We started all
free from the rubble.
I am here in the in-between to collect their spirits and carry them to what comes next. This road is not on any map. It spans the thresholds between their most forbidden desires and their greatest fear. All I ask for in payment is a tale, an accounting of their lives in the great temporary that is the land of the living. These are their stories. This is The Passage. I'm making a pit stop today, checking in on a particular passenger. I do not normally allow my passengers such liberties, but for this soul, I've made an exception. It is August. It is always August in this place. This place in the in-between, balanced in form and function, and haunted by bloody tragedy. The largest single incident of mass murder in Wisconsin's history. This place, which is not as it appears. This place, which is and is not spring green, where the lines between the brilliant mind that builds it and the rest of time and space are blurred. The same mind which had a hand in the design of the whole of the 20th century. Frank Lloyd Wright, a towering figure in his field, incredibly prolific in his lifetime. His designs will prove to echo through their work for thousands of years to come, and his visions represent the first truly American architecture. He saw the world shifting. He was an architect of that shift. He envisioned an America where mankind lived in harmony with the land, where the home was the center of life and a hearth the center of home. There was a personal cost, however. As he left his life in April of 1959, he believed his work unfinished. There are no corporeal tools in the Bardo, so he worked with all of the material left him, his own life, and what a construction he has made here, in the in-between. But only he will be able to tell us when he's done building.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, "We are going to give women meaningful beauty." And I said, "That's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life."
Meaningful beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Hello, Frank. It's time.
I didn't see you coming.
Yeah, it's time to get up, Frank.
I no longer have a body. How do I get up if I don't have a body? Am I a reflection, or perhaps only a shadow?
Well, your consciousness is all you need. Focus. Recall movement. What do you see?
I see grass on a hill. Grass and summer thistle bowing to the wind. Waves of it. An ocean of green rushing away from me.
Yeah, that's good, Frank.
This is spring green. I'd know this slope of Wisconsin hillside anywhere. I know it as well as my hands know my own face in the dark. Why have you taken me here, Spirit?
The soul knows where it needs to go to heal itself.
Heal the soul? That's absurd. I didn't need any healing in life, and I certainly don't require any healing in death.
But you do. Come on, Frank. Our memory is the mother of all wisdom. You can access your own memories and the memories of others here. These impressions all connect here. Every memory of every living thing.
So what do I do?
Speak the truth, Frank, as you see it, and we will be on our way. Speak.
I stand alone in a verdant field. I know this to be my family land, but there are none of the structures I'd known in life. No Unitarian chapel, no twin windmills nicknamed Romeo and Juliet, no country school. I am surveying the slopes for any sign of civilization when a man in a black suit appears before me. His face is gray and unyielding as January.
Your mother sends you to work on this farm every summer. And every autumn you return to her just as soft as the day you were born.
My uncle James Lloyd Jones, long since dead. I haven't seen James in over 40 years. But here he is, just as menacing as I'd remembered him. As a child, I tried to run away from him, to escape his farm, but was found quickly and dragged back screaming. I learned two things during those interminable summers of work and prayer at Aldebaran Farm. Firstly, that I hated physical labor, and took it as a sign that I was created for loftier things than plows and pig shit. The second and more profound lesson that I took from the slopes of Spring Green was that America was made for the horizon. It was made for movement with the land. Forward, forward, Wisconsin. Forward, America, across the prairie to become the prairie, within the mountains to become the mountains. Forward into the forest to become the trees. A manifest expansion forward, across the globe. America deserved buildings that reflected this movement, and I was destined by God to create them.
You are a shame on this family. You might leave this place, but you'll never leave that.
Is that your own morality speaking? Or did you borrow your thoughts from the town paper again?
Here's a morality lesson for you, boy. We came here from Smutindu, the Black Spot of Wales. Called that by hostile outsiders because of its religious unorthodoxy. Called that really because of its religious purity. Honest, godly people civilized this land, Frank. And you. You gave it back to the devil when you stole that man's wife and brought her here.
I'm bored of this, James.
Do you know why you always returned to your mother's soft boy? Because you're always looking for a shortcut. You're probably looking for one right now.
James' face wriggles grotesquely, his eyes rolling back. He opens his mouth to speak, a dark river of spiders rushing forward between his strained lips. He falls to his knees, his body engulfed by a thousand arachnids. He's squirming and choking on their velvet legs. The black soil is beginning to quake and froth and open up beneath him, swallowing his gray frame. He struggles to climb out of the hole. No. He points towards the horizon, and a great white complex materializes as though he's summoned it. It's the Chicago World's Fair Pavilion, exactly as it stood in 1893. A pathway toward the white complex, then opening in the grass before me. And a crow lands on the route ahead. I will leave James to follow it. I will not look back.
What do you remember about the fair, Frank?
That was the year that I left the firm of Adler and Sullivan and struck out on my own.
Yeah. What do you remember seeing at the pavilion?
The fair celebrated the 400th anniversary of the landing of Christopher Columbus in the Americas. Disappointing. Gaudy architecture, monstrous Greek revival buildings, painted ivory. The old ideas of Europe regurgitated by New York architects who came to the Chicago swampland to have their boots licked by their Midwestern colleagues.
You're editorializing, Frank. What did you see there?
I remember Frederick Law Olmsted's beautiful glass boats in the man-made lagoon. And here, one arrives on the placid water suddenly before us. Shall we board?
After you. Continue.
There, ahead of us, wooded island, located in the center of the water. Forward to Hoden, meaning Phoenix Palace. It was a recreation of a temple that combined several centuries of Japanese architecture and history into a tea garden and three single-story buildings that moved horizontally with the island, from east to west, forward with the island, to become the island. It commanded the eye with its subtle beauty. It vibrated with life in the foreground, against the hulking white giants on the parallel shore. My hands itch for a pencil and drafting table.
Your hands itched for a pencil and they found one. You found a shortcut.
What are you suggesting here, spirit?
You know precisely what I'm saying.
Hoden confirmed ideas I'd already had. They were my own ideas. If they were not, then it was providence that I should make them known to the world.
This is a story of theft. You can leave when you can see who did the stealing.
I refuse to dignify that with a response.
You are the progeny of devoted Unitarians. Tell me, Frank, what is the seventh commandment?
Thou shalt not commit adultery. Odin, Phoenix Temple has caught fire. Now it's gone. A mirage. I'm back in the field with an accusing spirit.
These are your belongings, Frank, not mine. What was her name?
Her name was Mema. I met Mema when she and her husband, Edward Cheney, were clients of mine. I was commissioned to build them a house in Oak Park, near the home that I shared with Kitty and our six children. The affair didn't happen immediately, but by the time Mema and I were discovered, I was already determined to release myself. I'd found my soul's match in Mema, my intellectual equal. And there was no staying with Kitty and the children after that conflagration of body and spirit. Every time I returned to the house in Oak Park, it felt like enslavement to endure an early and unfit marriage. The monotony of domestic life, the needful mouths of children, the unpaid debts mounting. Mema and I agreed that the falsehood it took to continue our respective marriages was greater than the sin of living an authentic truth. I built Taliesin for Mema. It was to be our home and safe haven in Spring Green, away from scavenging reporters, a place where I could work and Mema could continue translating the works of Ellen Key while we waited for our divorces to shake out. I wish to return to Taliesin's spirit, to Mema. The pond below Taliesin shimmers and warps like a desert mirage, and there it is. It's there. It's real. We're here.
That's nice, isn't it? And now?
Is that not Mema, but a small figure sprinting towards us from the courtyard, past the stone-walled garden bursting with flowers taller than she? There's a ringing in my ear, growing more intense as she approaches. It's Martha Cheney, Mema's daughter. I know her distinctive page-boy haircut well. Her sapphire ring, her white summer dress flashing in the sun. Martha Cheney, eternally 8 years old. This isn't my memory, spirit.
Yeah, there is no you, Frank. No point where you end and this begins. No single horizon line. No individual timeline. This is all you. Converging, intersecting, all sights, sounds, memories, and fantasies, all simultaneously statuesque and fluid. You can access every memory in this plane, not just your own. This memory belongs to the land. It is carved into the shining brow of the hill itself. And everything you see is your reflection, including her.
And perhaps she is here to guide me back to Mema, who's inevitably hunched over a book somewhere or draped on a deck chair in her elegant way. Martha. Bright, young Martha. She's spirit. Why is she running with her arms out like that? She's not running towards me. Is she? She looks to be running away from something. She's mouthing words, but I can't make out any sound. My ears are completely wiped out by high-pitched ringing. Spirit, I can't hear over it. She's at my feet, spirit. I can't touch her. My hands go right through her. Her tiny page boy haircut is unzipping itself. I cannot see her murderer, only her small body unraveling before me. The blows keep coming from Martha's phantom assassin. One, two, three, in quick succession. She is looking at me, her skull belching blood, red rosettes blooming on her white dress. One, two, three, a felled sapling. Martha, eternally 8. Gone in 1, 2, 3. A girl has a gash, a red blot on the earth. The ringing is gone, but I hear the clandestine kiss of a match and gasoline outside of the house. I hear the immediate and elemental fear of trapped men howling. I can't, spirit. It's too much. I can't continue. Take my sight, spirit.
Let's go a little further this time, Frank.
Please, no. He's here now. A starched white servant's jacket, now splattered with blood and blackened with soot. In his hands, a hatchet and empty can of gasoline. It's Carlton. Julian Carlton. the murderer. I come here to visit my angels, and instead I'm haunted by my demons.
Have courage.
What more do you want of me, demon? Have you not already taken everything from me?
Just one thing I want.
What?
Ma'am wanted luncheon, served on the private patio overlooking the pond. She wanted a great many things for herself. She wanted a man who wouldn't limit her intelligence. She coveted another's husband, and coveting is a sacred signal for the selfish. She loved a linen chemise because it is simple. She loved the Swedish language because it is not. The workmen would be eating near the kitchen in the east wing. After drafting houses and mending fences, the workmen wanted to be praised for their discipline. The workmen wanted to be praised for their industry and their humble beginnings. The workmen wanted to be praised by a man who is praised among men. Everyone kills something. As a man of ideas, you just kill slower. A spirit called to me from the trees, a whisper in the wind. The spirit revealed to me that the house and the people in it were filled with evil. The spirit told me that the chairs were stuffed with human hair. The spirit, he growled from the cellar, and he growled from the shadows, and the spirit, he paints in Cherokee red. The spirit demands to be seen as you are seen, equal in beauty and in cruelty, a revolutionary design executed without regard for the human cost or the laws of physics. The spirit demands to be compensated for the affordances made for progress, for civilization's gallop over people and nature. The spirit, he told me to collect for the lash and the cotton and the coffee and the sugar and the blankets covered in your diseases, to collect on the commission of suffering, for the blankets keeping you warm and free from consequences. The spirit told me to fetch the tools of equilibrium, the axe and the fuel, to move with the stealth of opportunity, with the instinct of the pioneer, to burn all useless brush on the homestead, to make the land and those on the land servile, to call it holiness, to call it dominion. The spirit told me to collect now or never. Ma'am, with her hair pinned in a chignon, the same beautiful head that laid on your pillow, revealed its secrets to me with a single strike of my hatchet. Her son was no challenge. Only Martha saw it coming, a frightened bird flying into the exposed sky. I culled them all and stained my crisp white coat. I harvested them first and then went to serve the workmen their soup. They did not notice the blood on my hands, only the ladle filling their bowls. They did not notice me, except when I was the black bastard who refused to saddle a white man's horse. They did not notice me or my wife, who made the soup serve to them with bloodied hands. They did not notice the river of gasoline suddenly under the dining room table, and the orange gown of flames twirling at their feet. They did not notice my blade waiting for them on the other side of that locked door, breaking their bodies into a chorus of screams, a chorus of witnessing crows and agony. Flecks of wet brand scattered like the petals of a cherry blossom in rain. A ritual transfiguration of God, made flesh with each rise and fall of the hatchet. To hear the pleas and squeals of grown men, roasting like pigs. Like the pig bastards that they were. Like you are. The pig bastard who stole what wasn't his to take. I am speaking to you, and through you now, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Even the little girl. Her screams were as white as the driven snow. Her screams were spring lilies in the mouth of an avenging dog.
What does he want?
I only want to be seen.
Why have you shown me this spirit? Tell me now.
You designed the scene, Frank. This is your point of view. And you will be condemned to witness these projections again and again until you learn.
What is there to possibly learn about the murder of the woman I loved? Surely I'm not responsible for the actions of that madman. I look upon these ruins. The gaping black hole left by the fire in the beautiful hillside is no less empty, charred and ugly in my own soul. What am I to take away? What, Something of madness? What? That it is my fault? In what universe is that possible? Or maybe my lesson is in destruction rather than creation, and madness is some kind of genius. Would that do? Who's allowed to be a genius? Who's allowed to steal from another his land, his art, his wife, his dignity, his comfort? Who are the madmen in a cursed country? Nothing about an affair is so evil that it should condemn anyone to witness this horror for an eternity. Nothing I have stolen justifies this.
Then why do you find yourself here? Again and again and again and again and again, your soul understands what it needs to learn from this tribulation. You have designed and built this purgatory for yourself. It's gorgeous. A frame constructed of hope, yes, but a foundation of fear. What do you fear?
I buried Mama with my own hands. I wrapped her body in flowers. I thought I had paid my portion of grief. How do I still deserve
this? What makes you so sure you do deserve this?
I should have been there. I could have stopped it. Yes, that's it. I became complacent. A man should protect the relationships he builds. Yes, that's it. That's his blessing and his curse. Yes, I get it. It's my fault. Satisfied now? You satisfied? It's my fault. I need to lie down.
Gosh. It's time to get up, Frank. Start your story again. And this time, tell yourself the truth.
I no longer have a body. How do I get up? How do I move if I don't have a body?
Your consciousness is all you need. Focus, recall, movement. What do you see?
I can recall movement.
What do I see? I see grass on the hill, grass and summer thistle. Bowing to the wind, waves of it. An ocean of green rushing away from me. Yes, yes, yes. I stand alone in a verdant field. I know all this. I know this to be my family land. But there are none of the structures I need.
I must leave, before. Frank, now.
No unitary.
Stranded in this matrix of wood, stone, and prism glass. In remorse, where the lines between his mind and the universe are blurred. Frank is lost inside of his own ego, tumbling through a vortex of questions. What do you owe those around you? From who you take and borrow and steal? What amount of yourself, your success, your life, do you owe them in return? How long must you punish yourselves for your own transgressions? Frank will be the great designer of his own punishment for many loops to come before he's able to break the bonds he has fabricated, reliving the horrors of his life. An echo of trauma folding in on itself again and again. But there is no greater destroyer of ego than grief. He will discover the truth eventually, even if he re-envisions this place a billion times. And only then will he complete his passage. Well, I have faith in him. He is, after all, one hell of an architect.
The Passage stars Dan Fogler as the ferryman. This episode features Michael Cook as Frank Lloyd Wright.
Also featuring Kevin Hines as Julian Carlton.
Written by Christine Alcosiba. Our executive producers are Nicholas Dukoski, Matthew Frederick, and Alexander Williams. First assistant director, script supervisor, and production coordinator, Sarah Klein. Music by Ben Lovett. Additional music by Alexander Rodriguez. Casting by Sunday Bowling Kennedy and Meg Mormon. Editing and sound design by Dan Bush. Dialogue editing and sound mixing by Juan Campos. Additional sound editing by Racket Sound. Our supervising producer is Josh Thane. Created by Dan Bush and Nicholas Dukoski. Produced by Dan Bush. The Passage is a production of iHeartRadio and Psychopia Pictures.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
See new things. Try new things. Go back centuries while living in the moment. Forge new paths while discovering old ones. Pedal, paddle, and paint while trekking, tasting, and tailoring experiences that transform you into a better version of yourself. Immerse yourself in the world by activating your mind, your heart, and your body on a river cruise exclusively from Avalon Waterways. Save with limited time offers at avalonwaterways.com. Avalon is cruising. Elevated.